Well, welcome everybody. I don't know if you're easily intimidated, but I have to come up here after a kids production. All right, so, and lighting of the candles, absolutely. Well, as was mentioned, we've been doing the Advent series. So we've talked in the last few weeks, we've talked about hope, we've talked about love, we've talked about joy, and today we talk about peace. Now, peace is not an easy topic. And, you know, when you talk about hope, love, joy, peace is intertwined with all of those things. Let's just admit that this morning. But peace is a very fleeting experience. It can exist in a moment, and then suddenly, whatever peace you feel that you have can evaporate in a moment's notice. A health diagnosis can threaten your peace. A broken relationship can threaten your peace. A lost career can threaten your peace. A financial crisis can threaten your peace. You know, I heard just this week, again, I was reminded of this, but our brains are not wired for success. Our brains are wired for survival. So anything that threatens us puts our brain into survival mode. And anytime we go into survival mode, we know that that threatens whatever peace we may be experiencing. But when we come to the biblical picture of peace, it is dramatically different. We get a departure from what we normally think peace is all about. For most of us, peace is this external thing that happens on the outside of us, and we experience those outside circumstances in an internal way, and that's what feeds our peace. But as we come to the story of Jesus' birth, peace is used in a really different way. We've all heard the story of the angels that appeared to the shepherds that particular night, and the proclamation of the Messiah now finally coming after so many Old Testament prophecies and 400 years of silence from God. And we've all read that passage of the angels making the proclamation in Luke 2:14 that says, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." Now, there's two words in the Bible, one in Hebrew, one in Greek, that is translated peace. We have shalom in Hebrew and edeni in Greek when it comes to this word peace. And both of them have the same, whether it's Hebrew or in Greek, both of them have the same semantic ranges and the same full range of translation. But it means to be complete. It means to be whole. It means to be faultless. It means to be healthy. Complete. It carries the idea of being at rest, that in the midst of the turmoil, that you have this sense of deep rest, or to be peaceable, or to be living during a time of peace. And true peace excludes nobody from the circle of harmony and completeness. And this peace primarily means health and good life. So anytime you hear it in Hebrew, anytime you hear it in Greek, even in Greek, it's a blessing. I know in many circles we talk about the Hebrew shalom, but in Greek it's exactly the same. If I was to say edeni to you, it is evoking a blessing in your life that you would experience peace at a very deep level. That in the midst of whatever you're living with, the experiences that you're enduring and the circumstances that you're going through, for me to evoke that word to you is praying God's deep peace into your life. Now, for most of us, there's just two ways to really attempt to get peace at all. We can attempt to find it by human means. And if you go on the internet, and which I did this week, and said, you know, if I'm looking for peace, where, how would I do it? And some of the things that came up in finding personal peace were things like accepting finally who you are, or embracing the life that you were meant to have, or dependence on others, or possessions for satisfaction, or living out your passions. Those are the kinds of things that are suggested about finding personal peace. Now, I got to tell you, none of those helped me at all this month, okay? I need to tell you, as a pastor, it's been a really difficult week. Kind of difficult couple of weeks. You know, I've said many times that come Christmas time, there's a sense of magnification that happens with things. You know, for instance, you know, on a personal level, a number of loved ones in my family who are having significant health issues, okay? I found out just this week from very, very good friends that their granddaughter, that's just a little over a year old, has a golf-sized tumor. And obviously, they're very concerned about what that means. Others have been sort of talking about reliving past traumas and reliving past hurts, and even abuses. And all of those, despite the number of us who are feeling the loss of significant people in our lives during December. You know, I said to you before, December 17th, I lost my father. December 8th, we lost my father-in-law, who was like a dad to me after my father passed away. But all of those things on the internet that was suggesting I would find peace through, none of those things helped in the circumstances that I'm talking about. None of them. So when we try and find peace on our own, we're going to always run into some shortfall, some difficulty, or something that's going to threaten that peace at a very deep level. The other way that we can find peace is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Jesus came to restore whatever broken relationships we have, not just with others, but with God himself, so that we can experience this kind of wholeness, this peace, and extend that to others. We all know that most, we all know that most interpersonal problems are because one person or the other is lacking a sense of peace in their life in one way or another. And that turmoil, inner turmoil, whatever conflict is going on, is part of the reason why we have a lot of interpersonal problems, okay? You know, and when we look at the scriptures and we look at the life of Jesus, if I were to ask you in this room right now, what did Jesus bring to the world? Many of you would say salvation. He brought love. He brought forgiveness. He brought acceptance. He brought healing. But how many of us on the very top of the list or near the top of the list would talk about peace? That he came to bring peace. Peace is one of those characteristics that we acknowledge. And yet when you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus' life started with a proclamation of peace from the angels. The angel said, you know, I bring peace and goodwill to all that God is pleased with. Okay? That's at his birth. But at his resurrection, Jesus repeated this blessing that he came to bring peace to the world. He said to his disciples, I come to bring peace, not as the world brings it, but peace in me. That the entire life of Jesus is bracketed by this promise of peace, especially at a time when Jesus entered the world not so very different from our present world, if I want to say that. We probably don't experience the social upheaval, war, financial upheaval that is happening in many places in the world right now. And yet that was the world that Jesus entered. It was into that world that Jesus said that he would bring peace. When all the externals that were happening in the world around them at that particular time were difficult circumstances. And yet Jesus talked about bringing a peace that was deeper than the circumstances we find ourselves in. You see, because biblically, peace is not found to human enablement. It is found only through divine enablement. I think if we attempt to try to find peace on our own, that we can manage peace on our own, I think it ends up in misery for us. I think it could end up in addiction. It could end up in hedonism, that we attempt to numb reality through all kinds of binging or sexual exploitation or meaningless pursuits or all kinds of other hurtful and harmful practices. But peace in Christ gives us the following. First thing it does, the peace of Christ is a constant companion and a constant friend. I know that sounds very intimate and very personal, but the presence of Christ is always with us. It never leaves us when we become a follower of his, despite the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Internal peace is that sense of wholeness, a contentment, a tranquility, an order, a rest, a security. And it's the kind of peace that eludes most people. Genuine internal peace cannot be obtained directly. It is a gift that God gives to those who believe in his Son and obey his commands. Secondly, it comes from knowing how the story ends. There's something in knowing that the lack of peace that I feel today will not translate to a lack of peace tomorrow. Because our current situation is not our final destination. Our current situation is not our final destination. Now, I have a bit of a unique view when it comes to end time stuff. I know people read books of Revelation, like the book of Revelation, and they start making these charts, and they start saying, I can look for all the signs, and this is how we can predict the second coming of Christ and all this kind of stuff. I happen to think that God has given us the book of Revelation, you know, sure, to give us warnings about when things are getting really bad. But I think part of the reason, or a majority of the reason, that God gave us the book of Revelation is that we know how the story ends, so we can have peace in the moment. I think that's one of the primary reasons that God says, this is how the story ends. This is how it concludes. This is what you can know for certain, and because you know how the story ends, you can have peace today. Now, that point really leads into the next point. Peace is a byproduct of hope. Peace is a byproduct of hope. That's what when we talk about Jesus being central to this idea of peace, it's because that we have the hope of Jesus Christ in our lives that we can have peace. Now, I get to quote two of my favorite authors. first is Tolkien in Lord of the Rings. There's this beautiful this beautiful section within the Shadow of Mordor. And Sam sees a star in the sky, and this is what is written at that time. Far above, the night sky was still dim and pale. There, peeping among the cloud, rack above a dark tor high up in the mountains, Sam saw a white star twinkle for a while. The beauty of it smote his heart as he looked up out of the forsaken land, and hope returned to him. For like a shaft, clear and cold, the thought pierced him that in the end, the shadow was only a small and passing thing. There was light and high beauty forever beyond its reach. Isn't that a beautiful part of the book? That in the, you know, if you know anything about, you know, Lord of the Rings, you know that the darkness and the deep shadow of Mordor, and the metaphor that it can have for our lives today. And yet one twinkling star gave Sam the hope in the midst of a very dark, dark time. And that's the beauty of peace when we proclaim it at Christmas time. It can have this sense of attached to a hope greater than the difficulties that we're experiencing. In the midst of the darkness of our age, with all of its pain, sin, sorrow, and the long shadows that seem impenetrable, there is the beauty of hope which delivers in real time a sense of peace. So whatever darkness is bred by the shadows, it is a darkness that is nothing more than a passing thing. Because peace is not easily humanly enabled. That peace is divinely enabled. That is the peace of God. And, you know, the Apostle Paul talked about the peace of God that passes all understanding, that we can pray in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, that we can pray and God would give us a peace that passes this all this understanding, which talks about, you know, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of your circumstances, that you can have a deep abiding peace and that God will guard your heart and your mind because of it. The second quote I get to quote is from C.S. Lewis, from the Chronicles of Narnia, and it's one of my favorite quotes. For those of you that have watched the movies, you know very early on in the movies, one of the characters makes this really chilling statement, and it kind of is a bit of a tongue-in-cheek thing, right? Talks about that it had been 100 years of winter in Narnia, but never Christmas. But never Christmas. And I thought, wow, how depressing that you would have 100 years of winter and never Christmas. In some ways, I think that's kind of an insightful statement about the circumstances that exist with us today, that sometimes that life can feel like one long, cold, bitter, dark, lonely, unhealthy memory. Okay. Am I overplaying? Is that overacting? Is that what it's called, overacting? Right. But Christmas is a reality. We have had Christmas, and we continue to have Christmas. And we can greet each Christmas knowing that peace can be a lasting reality. Because peace is found in Jesus Christ alone. And by accepting his free invitation of salvation and by living a life of obedience that he modeled, that's the beautiful thing about Christmas, that we can have this peace in a person. Peace is not humanly enabled reality. It can be only divinely enabled. And I've said many times that Christmas is, for many of us, a season of magnification. If it's been a good year, Christmas seems to magnify that. If it's been a bad year, Christmas seems to magnify that. But in Scripture, we are told to magnify the Lord. So when we magnify the Lord, when we do that, we can experience hope, love, joy, and peace in a way that nothing else in this life can match. Amen.
Amen.
I want to remind you that we have a prayer room after the service, that if you want someone to pray with you, if you want someone to hear what you're experiencing and be able to just pray in confidence with you, then we invite you to do that. I'm going to close in prayer and ask that the Lord would give you peace during this time. And I'm not going to ramble on, okay? I'm really early. Okay, today went a lot faster. I thought the production was going to go a lot faster. But I want you to know that
okay?
Yeah.
I'd like to say a prayer for you.
Sure.
Father in heaven, we thank you for our pastor. We know the burdens he carries. We know the challenges, the difficulties. We pray in Jesus' name that you would comfort him, help him, give him your peace, and just use him mightily in this Christmas season and in the next years. Lord, just amaze all of us with what you're going to do through him in our church and in our community and in our world. Thank you for his teaching at Heritage and all he does. Lord, just bless his family. We pray for healings in Jesus' name. We thank you for him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dale. Wow. Nothing will give you peace in this life other than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Nothing will give you joy in this life but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Nothing will give you hope, love, those things that we celebrate at Advent. And thank you very much, Dale. It has been a very difficult month. But I can tell you, because of faith in Christ, we know how the story ends. Amen. Amen. So thank you again. Merry Christmas, and let me pray for you, all right? Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the peace that he brings. We thank you for your deep love for us. Thank you for the people in this room and for those that are online. And I pray, Lord, that in some small way you will have touched a heart. Maybe a heart that's been cold towards you. But Father, I pray that you would open up a heart to the truth of your word and the promise you give to those who place faith in you. Lord, there are so many things that we attempt to find peace in this life through. But we know, Lord, that unless it's divinely given, it will lead to frustration and emptiness and a sense of wandering. So, Lord, I pray that today you would bring people home to yourself. And for those who are believers here this morning, may they be reminded that the things of this world, even though they may weigh us down, we have the opportunity to experience a peace that we may not personally be able to understand, but know that is given by you. So, Lord, give us that peace this week as we enter the week before Christmas. And may we gather again together on Christmas Eve to sing the songs, to light the candles, and usher in this season with the hope, love, joy, and peace that the birth of Jesus brings. And Lord, may as we enter into 2023, may we do so with a renewed sense of hope because of what we've celebrated on this Christmas season. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.